It's good to see everyone here this morning. Another blessed day that we can worship our God in spirit and in truth. I want to start off a little different this morning with kind of an illustration of sorts. This week we're going to be experiencing Thanksgiving. Now, for most, it's a giant meal. A meal that we eat too much and kind of gorge ourselves. However, Thanksgiving is a mindset that, or a spirit or an attitude, it's meant to be done every day. Quite a few years back, actually. I know that there's quite a few newer people here in the congregation, so I figured it would be good to let everybody know this. A few years back, we were about this time of year celebrating Thanksgiving. And, you know, as we normally do, we give the announcements. He knows where I'm going. And that Sunday, Dad was giving the announcements. And it just so happened that it fell, that Thanksgiving fell just as such as it is this year. And so in back then, every fifth Sunday, we rotated. The men rotated. So I got the fifth Sunday off and someone else preached. Well, it was Gene's turn to preach the day after after Thanksgiving. And so Dad was up there and he said, and he let everybody know Gene's going to be preaching. He says, let's see, his exact words were, "Gene's preaching next week, so don't let the turkey get you down." So everybody come for to hear Gene preach because of the turkey. Anyway, so we're talking about being prepared. And I believe being thankful is certainly something that God wants us to have in that toolbox. And I want to read a passage in Hebrews chapter 13. If you have your Bibles handy, let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. In chapter 13, the Hebrew writer gives several responsibilities that are very important to us as Christians. And Hebrews chapter 13, I just want to read one verse, verse 15. This is one of the responsibilities. So if you would like to know the rest, read chapter 13. Verse 15. "Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Continually offer a sacrifice. You know, I know that we looked at Romans chapter 12 where it says that we are to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice every day. Here, it's bringing out the idea that every day we must have the mindset or the attitude of being thankful to God continually. As was mentioned on the table a while ago, the fact that, you know, look at all the blessings that we have. Look at all the things that we have in our lives that which we are thankful for. And we can look at the sufferings. We can look at afflictions. We can look at all the things that get us down. Maybe it's our health. But even in the midst of all those things, we can see that one clear point that God is there for us, that God sent his son, that Jesus went to the cross, that he gave his life so that we could stand before God. Holy, blameless, without reproach. Not because I am sinless, but because I have the blood of Jesus covering myself. So when we look at passages, and we're going to examine several passages today that talk about thankfulness, that talk about Thanksgiving. Because the first part we're going to look at is it was important to Jesus. It's important to God. Thankfulness is important, but secondly, we're going to look at several passages that teach us to be thankful. So let's go ahead and we're going to do a lot of flipping today. Hopefully you got your flippers on. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at a lot of different examples. Jesus, as we often say, he's the example, right? He was the example of suffering. He was he's our example of love. He's our example for everything. And so why not have him as an example for being thankful? So in Matthew chapter 14, we have the feeding of the 5,000. And so one of the things that we see that Jesus often did was whenever he taught something, he exemplified it. So notice here, beginning of verse 19, he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So here, whenever we see, you know, again, you can look at all the several different miracles that Jesus performed. And we're going to look at a couple of them. The next one's in the next chapter. We find Jesus doing the exact same thing over and over. Matthew 15, beginning of verse 35. So this is the feeding of the 4,000. So it's a different different time period, different crowd. Verse 35, so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 7 large baskets full of the fragments that were left. And he goes on, he says, now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. So we're talking a mass of people. If you think about it, how many loaves was that? 7? So if you look at that, could 7 loaves feed everyone here? So this is a miracle. We're talking 4,000 people plus. Back in chapter 14, 5,000 people plus. But it all began with a prayer of thankful, a prayer of gratitude. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Beginning in verse 26. This is where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks for, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So, there again, Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper, the first thing he does is gives an example of how important it is to give thanks to God. So, looking forward to other things, look over at Matthew chapter 11. Verse 25. Now, usually in Matthew chapter 11, we quote verses 28 through 30. But we're backing up a little bit. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes." And he goes on and talks about how all things have been delivered to him. And then verse 28 and following, Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus promised rest. But Jesus also knew where that came from, that the Father gave it to him. And so he thanked God. And let's look at John. John chapter 11. In John chapter 11, we have another miracle. This is a pretty significant miracle. Mary and Martha and their brother Lazarus. Well, Lazarus had died, and so they petitioned Jesus to come there. And obviously that Jesus could heal him. But Jesus tarried, it says, in that context, all of chapter 11. And so he gets there, and he says, where's he at? Oh, he's in the tomb. Jesus says, take away the stone. They say, oh, no, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. It's going to stink. But Jesus, notice what he does. He doesn't just say, all right, Lazarus, walk. What's the first thing he does? Verse 41. They took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. This is before Lazarus even steps out. Now, we know that he's about to do that, and Jesus calls him to come forth. But notice, he goes straight to the Father. I thank you, Father. You think God wants us to be thankful? Absolutely. We have to be thankful. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Let's look at another example in Luke chapter 17. So in Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, Jesus is coming back to Jerusalem, and he travels through Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered a village, 10 men who are lepers stay off at a distance but come up to him. And notice in verse 13, they say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They had to do something. Jesus told them what to do. Go show yourself the priest. As a matter of fact, that was a part of the law. If you were cleansed. That was part of how you were accepted back into society. Back in the Old Testament. If you had leprosy, then you had to have it confirmed by the priest that you were cleansed of it. Which didn't happen too often. Usually you got leprosy and it just had its way with you. So notice what happens here. As they go, they were cleansed. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So one out of 10, all 10 were healed, but only one came back to give thanks. And do you think Jesus noticed that? Look at verse 17. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner? So here again, then a Samaritan is part of this story. It's not unique, but Jesus often uses the Samaritans. Now, Samaritans, if you looked at the people of Samaria, the Jews looked down at them. They didn't like them. And so if you were a Jew during this time, if you had to go somewhere and it was on the other side of Samaria, instead of taking the shortest route right through it, you went clear around the country. You didn't step foot in it, which is unique because in John chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples walked straight through Samaria. to show that all, you know, Jesus cares about all. So this Samaritan came back. The Samaritan who was despised came back and thanked Jesus for curing him of his leprosy. Now look over at the next chapter, Luke 18. Jesus condemns for the lack of expression of gratitude. Luke 18, beginning of verse 9. Also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So that sets the mindset. This is those that trusted in themselves. Obviously, as we're going to see here, we're going to know exactly who he's talking about. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Okay, so what's the difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector? The Pharisee was knowledgeable of the word of God, was knowledgeable of the law, and the tax collector was known as a sinner. Okay, so you had one who was righteous in his sight and one who was a sinner. Now look what it says. The Pharisee, verse 11, stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you. He thanked God. I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector standing afar off would not even so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So two individuals. You notice the I in the Pharisee's comments? I thank you because I did this and I did this. I'm not like this. I'm not like this. Think he's stuck on himself? Mm-hmm. Verse 9 says, trusted in themselves. He trusted himself that he was righteous. Verse 14, I tell you, Jesus says, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So Jesus is condemning the Pharisees, the way that they express gratitude. So all of this pointing to the fact that this is very important to Jesus. Being thankful is very important to God. And there's also a passage in Romans chapter 1 that talks about a lack of thankfulness and a condemnation there as well. I want us to look at, for the next few minutes, a few passages, starting in Ephesians. We'll just go from Ephesians, Philippians. We're going to see several passages where it teaches that we need to be thankful. So Jesus gave us an example that he was thankful. He prayed to the Father that he was thankful. And so now as we look in some of the other writings of Paul, we see that Paul taught this to the various different congregations. So Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 3. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this with Paul's writings, but a lot of times what Paul does, he gives the, this is what we shouldn't do, and this is what we should do. He gives kind of a contrast. He always gives the bad, and then he tells us what we should do instead. So verse 3, he says, well, actually, let's back up. Verse 2, verse 1. Might as well, right? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. So, be imitators of God. Walk in love. Why? Because Jesus sacrificed himself, right? God gave us forgiveness in his Son. Verse 3. So, what do we do? He says, fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you. So three areas that Paul hits on there that the church in Ephesus and probably a lot of others dealt with. He says, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Verse 4, he adds some more to it. It says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which is not fitting, but rather giving thanks. So there we see the, okay, we see all the list. These are the things Paul says don't do. Instead, I want you to do this. So our attitude or our mindset of thankfulness isn't just a, oh, it's November. It's the fourth Thursday in November. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. No, it's an everyday. And especially, you know, in our prayers, when we pray to God, I don't have a prayer that doesn't thank God. They all do. I think it's very important for us to have that, because not only is it what God wants, but also signifies a sense of humility. Not that we're trying to show that ourselves are humble, but the fact that we know that He is who He is, and we are much less. We have to recognize that God is a great, powerful God. Look at Philippians chapter 4. So we're just flipping to go to the next book. Chapter 4, verse 6. And there are certainly other passages in the New Testament that teach us, but we're talking these letters in the latter part of the New Testament are the actual practical teachings to the church. So Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Okay, so what's significant about this? Do you ever need something to where it causes you a little bit of anxiety? Well, here, these Christians here, don't be anxious. Give it to God. How? Notice he says prayers. So in our normal daily prayers, supplication. What's supplication? That's the constant supplication. That's the constant bringing up. That's like your prayer list. And then the last one, thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And, verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So when we go to God, notice right before that, verse 4 and verse 5, Paul talks about rejoicing in the Lord always. That's the key point. We have the ups, we have the downs, we have the highs, we have the lows, we have the times of suffering, we have the time of good health. No matter what time it is, we can go to God, we can thank Him for what He has done for us, not only daily bread, you know, like He fed the Israelites manna from heaven in the Old Testament. He gives us the sustenance. He takes care of the sparrows. He takes care of all the animals. Will He not much more take care of us? That's Matthew chapter 6, or 5, 6, and 7 that Jesus talks about that. So here, we need to be thankful. Now go over to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 15. He says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. So here, Paul, you know, if you take the chapter 3 into your mind, you know, going back to the very first part of the chapter, he talks about seeking the things where Christ is, having a focus in our lives. If our lives are focused on spiritual things, then we're going to be spiritually minded. If we're focused on the physical matters, then we're going to be physically minded. And so if we're physically minded, we're doing the deeds of the past. We're walking in the flesh. And he talks about that in the first few verses. But here he says that the peace of God, which is through Christ, is to, and then he uses the word rule. That word could best be understood in our language or in our understanding as an umpire. So the umpire calls it as he sees it. Let the peace of God rule, reign, control in your hearts. And notice he also says in one body. We are called in one body, and one body, the church. Are you thankful for the church? Are you thankful because, as we looked at last week in 1 Corinthians 11, God placed each member in the body just as he pleased. He is the one who directs us in the way that we should go. Look at verse 17. Still Colossians 3. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanksgiving is a common thread throughout. Verse 2 of chapter 4. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It's not just something, I'm thankful for God. No, it's something that we seek, something we desire, something that we cannot do without. Letting God know how thankful we are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So it's the next book after that. Verse 18. Actually, let's look at verse 16. Rejoice always. All the time, Paul? Yep, all the time. Bad times? Yep, bad times. What's he say next? Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. What do we do in our prayers? We let God know that we're thankful. We let God know the things that we need. Actually, he already knows what we need. But we address that. Notice what he says in verse 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So here again, good times, bad times, going through persecutions, going through a difficult moment in your life with your health. What do? Oh, woe is me. What do we do? Thank you, God, for giving me this day to live for you. That's the mindset. We don't always succeed at that, do we? We oftentimes, and I catch myself also doing the, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Same thing. He adds the intercessions idea. So what's intercessions? Did Jesus intercede for us? How did Jesus intercede for us? By going to the cross. Did Jesus ever pray for us? If you look at, Matthew 17? John 17, yeah. Jesus prayed for all that we might be one. So there again, prayers for one another. Chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So thankfulness, important for us as Christians. So important that I dare say that it's what we are leaning towards to be prepared. We want to be prepared for eternity. Then we have to pick up some of these mindsets. We have to pick up some of these character traits that Jesus gave and that he wants us to do. So as we wrap this up, back in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15, you remember there, Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So he says, continually. Continually. All the time. So Jesus wants us to give thanks often. Jesus wants us to give thanks for all kinds of reasons and in all types of circumstances. Now notice there, he says we are to give thanks by him. Verse 15, therefore by him let us continually. We cannot forget how important it is to God for us to be thankful. And again, my challenge, read chapter 1 of Romans and look for thankful. Look for the idea of unthankfulness and see what was going on there. And maybe compare it to what we got going on today in the world. We have a responsibility, first to ourselves and to one another in the church. And so that is why the constant stress of points of being prepared. We don't want to get to the end and say, oops, I missed it. Nobody wants to have an oops moment at that time. So let's continue to pray for one another, being thankful to God, celebrating Thanksgiving with our families and friends, knowing that God, he supplies all our needs. And we have plenty of examples for that. So true thankfulness is going to motivate us to serve God, to serve the Lord to the best of our ability. And so that's very important. So if you're here this morning, maybe you're going through a struggle in your life and you'd like some prayers. Or maybe you've been thinking about becoming a Christian, putting the Lord on in baptism. That's what the scriptures tells us. The scripture tells us that it's when we repent of our sins and be baptized that we are forgiven of our sins. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 38. So if you would like to learn more about that, or if you're ready to do it, we'd love to help you in any way as we stand and sing the song of invitation. Won't you come?